Desert Island Disc. Each week we ask a well-known person the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone. As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week is a very well-known organist, George Thalben Ball. Well, Dr. Thalben Ball, how do you feel about being cast away?
I should hate it, you know. I shouldn't know what to do. And I'm sure I shouldn't last very long. I should either, I'm sure, be eaten by animals on a very dark night, or be drowned while trying to catch fish, or, I suppose, poisoned by eating the wrong kind of berries. I should be hopeless, in fact.
That's a very pessimistic view. And when you're not on a desert island, do you play the gramophone a lot?
Very rarely. And I very rarely listen to television or the wireless.
Did you find it a difficult job to choose these 8 records to take into exile?
Yes, indeed. I thought about it quite a lot and came to the conclusion that it would be a good plan to have records of different qualities, of instruments, perhaps a vocal record, but certainly not a duplication of records.
What's the first one you chose?
Well, I think perhaps the third concerto of Rachmaninoff. I'm very proud to have played the concerto at its first performance in London. That was when I was a pianist. This was the Royal College of Music during the end of the First World War, and the conductor was Sir Charles Stanford.
Who would you like to play it on this record?
Cyril Smith.
And which part of the work?
Perhaps as a vigorous start, the finale.
Finale to Rachmaninoff's Concerto No. 3, played by Cyril Smith with the City of Birmingham Orchestra conducted by George Weldon. What's your second choice?
I think, you know, if I were on a desert island and I were asked to live with the music of one composer only, I would without doubt choose Bach.
What have you chosen from Bach?
Well, if I may, from his astonishing wealth of wonderful music, I should like to choose, I think, the double concerto.
Play it by?
Well, the Oistrakh, perhaps the slow movement.
Beginning of the second movement of Bach's double violin concerto, played by David and Igor Oistrakh. Dr. Thalben Ball, you're an Australian, aren't you?
Yes. Well, I was born in that beautiful city, Sydney. Well, my parents were born in England, in the West Country, in fact.
Were your parents musical?
Yes, both. My mother was a church organist when she was a girl, and my father was an amateur musician, I think, of considerable ability. In fact, he conducted some concerts at the Crystal Palace for August Manns.
How old were you when you decided that music was going to be your career?
Well, I don't know that I ever did decide. I suppose, having been brought up in a musical family and hearing my parents playing regularly, infused me to do the same thing. And I think at a very early age, about 4 or 5, something like that, I began a liking for music, which continued.
Yes. Where did you study?
First of all, with that great organist, George Cunningham. I was a piano pupil of his, not an organ pupil.
Mm-hmm.
But through him, I obtained an exhibition at the Royal College of Music, and there took piano as first study and organ as second study.
Yes. What was your first engagement when you left the college?
Organist of Whitfield's Tabernacle. The clergyman was Sylvester Horn, who was very well known in those days, just as Kenneth, his son, is well known these days.
Yes, indeed. You were very young when you took that.
About 15.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I was there for about 2 years, something like that.
And then?
After that, I went to a church in Barnes, and from there to Paddington Parish Church, and from there to the Temple.
Now, having achieved such distinction as a pianist, you've told us you gave the first performance in this country of Rachmaninoff's Third Concerto. Why did you decide to change from the piano to the organ?
It was really the appointment at the Temple which decided me to become an organist.
For how many years now have you been at the Temple?
Oh, shall we say a long time.
And, of course, you're still there today.
Oh, yes. And there's one point I'd like to say, if I may, that I think all young organ students should devote their early training to piano technique. There's no finer or more rewarding finger discipline for the organ than that provided by systematic and thorough piano practice.
Mm-hmm. Now, among all the records you've made with the choir of Temple Church, there was one very famous one indeed. It's been on this island a good many times. Master Ernest Love as the soloist and Mendelssohn's Hear My Prayer. I don't know how many countless copies that must have sold.
Yes, it, I believe, is the record.
Are you going to choose that one to take on the island?
No, I think not. But I should like a Temple record to remind me of the many Temple friends and choristers during this lonely and wretched existence on the island. If I may, I should like to choose Mendelssohn's I Waited for the Lord.
Apart from being organist at the Temple Church, London, you're also organist in the city of Birmingham, aren't you?
Yes.
And you also have a post at the BBC here.
Yes. It's musical advisor for the religion department.
Mm-hmm. And we hear you very frequently on the air in daily services and recitals. Did you not also edit the BBC Psalter and have a great deal to do with the production of the BBC hymn book?
Yes, I was responsible for the Psalter and on the committee of the hymn book.
Away from church music, of course, you've also done a very great deal of concert work. How many years, for instance, have you been playing at the Proms now?
I should think 40 years.
Yes. With...
I was quite young, you know, when I started here at the Proms.
The 40 consecutive years you haven't missed any.
Yes, I think one or two. Mm. There was one I know when I was in America.
Yes, that's a pretty good record. Let's have some more music.
Well, I'm torn between several choices. Let's have part of the Elgar cello concerto, maybe.
With the BBC Symphony Orchestra conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent. Dr. Talbot-Ball, your organ playing has taken you to a good many parts of the world, hasn't it?
Yes, thinking it over, I've had a most wonderful life. I've been about the world and played in America, Australia, South Africa, and on the continent.
You must have had to play on a very great variety of instruments.
Yes, and some queer instruments, too.
Yes.
I must tell you one story. I was once invited to go to an opening of a cinema organ. And they asked me if I'd play the national anthem at the beginning of the entertainment. Well, I agreed. And just as I was coming up on the lift, I said to the organ builder, have you got in a good drum roll? He said, yes, you press that pedal. And so I did, but he didn't tell me that if I pressed it lightly, I'd get one effect. If I pressed it right down, I'd get something quite different.
Mm.
Well, in a business way, I pressed this down, and every kitchen effect in the organ went off with a bang. We had motor horns, bicycle bells, and I remember them beginning the national anthem, started with something in the corner going, cuckoo, cuckoo.
You must have wanted to find the button to... press to take the organ down and get into it quick. I suppose a strange organ must need a lot of getting used to. It's like driving a new make of car. Almost.
Yes, that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Well, record number five.
I imagine there may be some savages on this island. I don't know. If there are, I shall need to be prepared for possibly these scalp collectors who've never heard of Beethoven or Bartok. I must obviously have at least one rhythm record, which in emergency I could rush and put on whenever I saw these people stealthily approaching. I have a great admiration, you know, for fine technique in all forms of art. And this, I don't mean I enjoy technique for technique's sake. Now, an interesting record, which I heard the other day, is a piece for two tromboniums, played by the J&K Trombone Octet. In this record, the trombonists just have this fine technique.
Thank you.
trombonians, J&K, and the trombone octet. What's the next one?
I think there may be moments when I should desire the tranquil qualities of chamber music, mm-hmm. with its intimate pooling of the resources of solo instruments. Moments when I shouldn't know what to do next, except perhaps bask on the sand. Now, at that time, I think chamber music would be most soothing. I think I'd like some Schubert. I'll settle for Schubert's Trout Quintet. Say the theme and variations.
Quintet, played by Clifford Curzon and members of the Vienna Octet. Well, Dr. Falvin Ball, you took a very pessimistic view about your chances as a castaway at the beginning of the program. Let's go into this in more detail. Have you any ideas on how you're going to live? Could you build a hut, for instance?
I shouldn't think I could build anything. So many things I feel I ought to do, but I shouldn't know where to start. I'm reminded of A. Mill's Shipwrecked Sailor. Mm. Remember the words? There was once an old sailor my grandfather knew who had so many things which he wanted to do that whenever he thought it was time to begin, he couldn't because of the state he was in. And so in the end, he did nothing at all but basked on the shingle wrapped up in a shawl. And I think it was dreadful the way he behaved. He did nothing but basking until he was saved. Well, that was exactly what I should do.
That sounds a very pleasant existence. It's rather a short one if rescue doesn't come. Let's get back to records. I notice you haven't chosen an organ solo yet.
No. Of course, there was a certain amount of organ in the Temple record.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that I should, if I'm going to take eight records, that I should take an organ record, because I'd rather hear, I think, other sounds to remind me of things I should miss enormously.
Hmm.
For instance, the memory of the happy laughter of people, and their delight shown by their clapping. So I presume I should be unfortunately alone on this dreary island.
What's going to bring you that sound?
Well, because we haven't had any opera. An opera is very often exciting. We'll have an opera. A Mozart opera. But on this occasion, I should like to be produced by Victor Borger.
This, ladies and gentlemen, was the first part of the overture. Now you hear the second part, and that's exactly the same. But this little blip is an extra blip we have in case we shoot one short of blip. But that has never happened, so we have a lot of blips left over. Now the curtain rises and the tenor arrives. He's a little tall fellow. He comes in. He comes in from the left in the single file. He goes behind the tree right away.
Victor Borger and his one-man Mozart opera. What's your last one?
There's a beautiful spot somewhere in Lynmouth Way where a path leads to some rocks. And you go around these rocks and come upon suddenly the sea. Whenever I visited that spot, it suggested to me the dramatic beginning of Vaughan Williams' Sea Symphony. As one who remembers the impact of this fine work upon the world at its first performance, its combination of voices and orchestra, and I think the appropriateness of its emotions for this program. It's, I might call it its salt sea emotions. I should like to take this record with me.
Conducting the London Philharmonic Choir and Orchestra. Well, there are your eight records, Dr. Salvenball. If you could only take one of the eight, which would it be?
Without doubt, I think the C Symphony of Vaughan Williams. Yes, I'll pump for that.
Right. And every castaway is allowed one luxury.
I think a white rug.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll keep me warm at night, and I can hoist it to the top of a long pole so the passing ship could see it and rescue me from this wretched island. Oh, happy day.
You feel like A.A. Milne's basking old sailor wrapped up in a shawl. It sounds a rather useful luxury, but we'll let you get away with it. And if you had one book?
That's difficult again. I think I'd better have a book that might help me in my unfortunate plight. A book such as Three Men in a Boat, or Robinson Crusoe, or Swiss Family Robinson, something like that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, I'll plump the Three Men in the Boat, see how they got on.
As far as I remember, they didn't get on awfully well. But anyway, thank you, George Salvenball, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs.
Goodbye, and thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.